jets approach and touch down on the deck, the entire group steeled themselves for the work ahead. Kaylee looked around at the grim faces, feeling the tension radiating from them. When the door slid open, she unbuckled her safety harness and followed Drew out of the craft. Horizon's transport ships were docked beside them, with armed soldiers already loading a group of Dorsha's crew on board. They entered an area that looked like a supply loading dock. More Horizon soldiers stood guard around another group of Dorsha's crew-turned prisoners, lined up in two neat rows. They were on their knees, with their hands bound behind their backs. Drew approached Horizon's unit commander. "We're ready to go in," he said. The other officer shouldered his weapon and pulled a small tablet from his pocket, tapping at the screen. Drew looked over his shoulder at the facility's schematics. "This is the regular block," he said, pointing, "and these are the cells for prisoners still under active interrogation." Kaylee stole a glance at Drew, whose face tightened at the officer's words. "As soon as we get this group loaded up, some of my guys will join you to help. The manifest says there are 196 inmates. Some are identified by name, others just have a number. Here are the override codes for the locks." "Roger that. Thanks," Drew said. He turned and gathered the Equinox group. "We'll split into three teams. I'll lead one into the interrogation block. The other two will start on opposite sides of the regular cell block. I want all medical personnel to hang back. Keep your comms open. We'll call when we need you. Be careful, everyone." When he finished giving instructions, he put a hand on Kaylee's arm. "Stay with me." "You think this is where he'll be?" she asked. "He's been an intelligence officer for over a decade. There's a lot of information in his head." Kaylee blew out a long breath and nodded. "If he's here, I'll feel him," she said. Sean and several other soldiers fell in line behind Drew and Kaylee. As they made their way through dimly lit, deserted corridors, the soft rhythm of their footsteps on the tiled floor broke the silence and produced the only sound in the vast expanse of hallway. "They must have noise-dampening materials in the walls," Drew said. Kaylee wouldn't let herself think about why they'd need soundproof material in this wing. Instead, she swept her mind out and concentrated on distinguishing each human voice from the chorus humming in her mind. In seconds, she found him. "True," she said, nearly breathless. He stopped and turned. "He's alive!" She squeezed her eyes closed, focusing her whole consciousness on Derek, stretching her mind out to touch his. She knew she was physically close to him, but she couldn't sense anything more than his life force pulsing against hers. "I can't feel anything, Drew. He's alive, but..." She couldn't finish her thought. "We'll follow you," Drew said. Her heart slammed into her ribcage as she stumbled forward, finally stopping at a cell near the end of the block. She stopped and put a shaking hand against the solid, windowless steel door. Drew stepped forward, squeezed her shoulder, and entered the override code into the lock. Chapter 42. The smell hit her first. Vomit, sweat, the pungent tang of blood. She took an involuntary step backward. Light from the corridor cast its dim glow into the otherwise dark room. The cell was essentially a square box with a hole in the floor on one side, presumably a toilet, and a slab of metal sticking out from the wall. Derek's unconscious body lay on the slab, naked save for a dirty sheet that barely covered him. Kaylee's hand flew to her mouth, but she couldn't stifle her cry. She took one tentative step toward him and then found herself falling to her knees by his side. Behind her, Drew shouted into his comm, calling for the medical team. She reached out to touch Derek. His body was cold, hypothermic. She needed to get him warm. She needed to do something. But for the first time since she'd been practicing medicine, she couldn't focus her mind, couldn't gather the information she needed to assess his injuries or even begin to work out how to treat them. She couldn't do anything but stare in horror at his abused body. "Derek," she whispered, reaching out to him with words and with her mind. "We're here. Please, wake up," she begged. At her insistent prodding, his eyes fluttered open. She saw a brief flicker of recognition before his expression blanked, and he turned his head away from her. "Derek," she pleaded again, but his eyes closed, and he slid back into unconsciousness. The medical team arrived. She numbly backed out of the way, allowing them to move him onto a stretcher. When she caught a glimpse of Drew, his ashen face and agonized expression matched her own. "I have to stay here and finish evacuating the facility. Take care of him," he said. The medics were already moving out of the cell. Kaylee hurried after them. Back on the shuttle, the pilot took one look at Derek and said, "I don't want to wait for the team. Let me get clearance from Commander Rowe, and I'll go back for the others later." Kaylee nodded her agreement. The two medics who accompanied them back to the ship moved quickly and efficiently. Kaylee grabbed a thermal blanket, covered Derek with it, and then moved up to his head to keep out of the way. One medic started pumping him full of intravenous fluid while the other began a preliminary scan for major internal damage and broken bones. Kaylee put a shaking hand on Derek's icy forehead and gently pushed her mind into his. "You're safe. We're here," she repeated over and over, but he was so deeply unconscious, she wasn't sure she reached him. The medical bay on Equinox was well equipped to handle any kind of trauma or illness, and the borrowed medical staff who had stayed on from Arathos were highly skilled. Kaylee let them work. She stayed at her place by Derek's head, keeping both the physical connection and the empathic one. Filtering out the conversations around her, she focused all her energy on him. She remembered moments they'd shared, from stargazing on the beach to laughing over dinner, and sent those vivid experiences from her mind to his. Kat appeared. She stood by the door and wrapped her arms around herself. "How is he?" she asked. "I'm still assessing," the doctor answered. "Please keep me informed," she said to the doctor, and then to Kaylee. "I have to finish monitoring operations from the bridge. I'll be back as soon as I can." An hour or so later, the doctor touched Kaylee's shoulder. "I'm going to keep him in an induced coma, at least until we get to Almagest." "Okay," Kaylee said. She appreciated his mannerisms. He spoke to her as a colleague, but also took the lead, knowing she couldn't. He pulled a chair over and sat eye to eye with Kaylee, his face filled with compassion. "Tell me," she said. "He's suffered physical torture, designed to inflict maximum pain but not to be fatal right away. Sensory deprivation and overstimulation, starvation and dehydration. He has broken bones that have already healed incorrectly. There are drugs in his system, hallucinogenic and psychotropic, used for enhanced interrogation. Those will clear out in a matter of days." Kaylee's chest heaved. "I'm sorry. I know this is hard, but you need to understand what we're dealing with. We'll design an aggressive recovery plan when we get him to Almagest. For now, we're going to treat him for infection and build his fluid volume back. I'm also going to begin correcting the fractures," the doctor said.
"I want to help you."
The doctor reached out and took her hands in his.
"I've got this part. You just be here for him, okay?"
"Okay," she whispered. As the doctor turned away to begin work, someone presented Kaylee with a more comfortable chair. She collapsed into it and closed her eyes. Hours later, she heard the ship-wide announcement that Equinox was leaving the system. She remained at Derek's bedside until Kat reappeared and practically dragged her away.
"I'll stay with him for a couple of hours," Kat told her, settling into the chair. "Take a shower. Get some food."
Kaylee leaned down and gave the other woman a hug.
"Thank you. I'll be back soon. Kaylee."
She turned.
"I don't know what to do for Drew. He's taking this hard. Still blames himself."
Her expression pained. Kat asked,
"Would you try talking to him?" "Of course I will. How about you, Kat? Are you okay?"
"I will be," she said, leaning forward to take Derek's hand.
"Do you think he knows we're here?" she asked softly.
"I think so," Kaylee said.
"Good," Kat said, closing her eyes and leaning back in the chair, still gripping Derek's hand.
Kaylee took a quick shower. She couldn't bring herself to eat anything, but she grabbed an energy drink from the mess hall and then went looking for Drew. She found him in the launch bay, running diagnostics on a fighter that had been damaged in the fight with Ray's squadron. When he saw her, he climbed down.
"Hey,
How is he?
Drew asked. His deadpan voice and neutral expression didn't counter the dread in his eyes.
The doctor has him in an induced coma. Cat's with him now, she answered. That place was a nightmare. Most of the other prisoners looked like empty shells, no life left in them.
Drew dropped his gaze to the ground.
How does anybody come back from that?
Kaylee knew he was talking about Derek now.
You don't. Not really, but you learn to live with it, and you find a way to make sure it doesn't define you, she answered.
Drew studied her carefully. He knew her history, the bare facts at least, and he'd witnessed her panic attacks on more than one occasion. Likely he'd filled in some of the other details on his own.
Human beings are strong, resilient creatures, and we take care of each other. That makes a difference, she said, giving him a small smile. I'm not going to lie to you, Drew. It's bad. And I know he won't be the same after this, but I have to believe he'll heal. I want to believe it, too, he said.
When she left Drew, she went straight back to the infirmary. Kat sat dozing in the chair, in nearly the same position she'd been in when Kaylee left. Kaylee put a gentle hand on her shoulder.
I think you should go to bed. Doctor's orders, Kaylee said. You too, Kat answered, blinking and then standing to stretch.
Hmm, Kaylee murmured, noncommittally.
Kat sighed. Just take care of yourself, okay? She said, hugging Kaylee before she left.
Kaylee stood over Derek, watching his chest rise and fall, brushing his dirty, matted hair off his forehead. The only time she'd seen it this long was when he'd come back from a deep cover mission, and then only until he could schedule a haircut. She touched the scruffy growth on his face and traced her fingers lightly over the bruises around his eyes. Evidence of the brutality he'd suffered was painted all over his body. She slid the door closed to give them some measure of privacy, then filled the sink with warm water. Rummaging through supplies, she found a washcloth. As she gently wiped away the blood, sweat, and grime caked to his skin, she pushed her mind into his body. She easily found the newly mending tissue. While she washed him, she coaxed the fractures to knit and encouraged his torn muscles to heal. Finally, when he was as clean as she could get him, and she'd exhausted herself from the healing, she sank down into the chair and fell asleep.
Chapter 43
It's time to let him wake up, Dr. Kellen said, giving Kaylee's shoulder a squeeze.
They'd arrived back on Almagest the previous day. Kat and Drew were scheduled to return to Horizon, and Sean planned to head back to his family, but all of them wanted to wait until Derek woke up. Leah had already come and gone, bringing Kaylee fresh clothes and keeping her company during the long hours of the night. Dorian Bell hand-delivered homemade stew and fresh-baked bread for her dinner, and warm pastries and tea first thing in the morning. Finn and Jason had both stopped by, promising to return again soon. Home, surrounded by people she loved, Kaylee felt like she could at least breathe again.
He'll be groggy, but all the psychotropic drugs have cleared out of his system, Kellen said.
Pulling her chair close to Derek's bed, Kaylee put one hand on his chest. She wanted him to know she was right next to him the moment he opened his eyes. With her mind touching his, she felt his consciousness begin to surface, but it was almost another hour before he blinked up at her. His eyes widened in confusion, darted around the room, and finally settled back on her.
"Kaylee," he asked, his voice ragged and hoarse. "I'm here. You're home," she said, reaching for a glass of water. She lifted his head and helped him take a sip. "Are you in any pain?" she asked when he settled back on the pillow.
"Sore," he whispered.
"Where?"
she asked.
"Everywhere,"
he answered, wincing.
"I'll get you a painkiller," she said, moving to stand.
"Wait, please. Kaylee, what happened?"
She sat back down and took his hand. "What do you remember?"
"You were there, in my cell. I thought I was hallucinating."
"I was there. Drew and Sean were with me.
We got you out and shut that whole miserable place down. I don't remember any of that.
No, you didn't wake up again, and then we kept you in an induced coma. But you're home now, on Almagest.
Home? He swallowed and squeezed his eyes shut. I didn't think I'd ever get home again. I didn't think anyone would find me.
I would have never stopped looking, she said, blinking back tears.
Derek gave her the ghost of a smile, likely recognizing his own words. Leaning forward, she brushed her lips gently across his.
Let me get you that painkiller now.
Okay.
She watched his features relax and his breathing slow as the drug took hold. In seconds, he was out. When Derek woke again, Dr. Kellen gave him a thorough assessment.
You can move around a little bit, carefully, with Kaylee's help. You can eat. Start slowly, but we need to get calories into you, Kellen said.
Thanks, Doc, he said,
his voice still rough. And Derek, rest as much as you need to. It's going to take a long while to heal completely.
Derek looked away from Kellen and nodded. He held his expression blank, but Kaylee could feel his raw emotions rolling beneath the surface, threatening to break through. Kellen left, and Kaylee sat beside Derek.
Would you like me to help you wash? I cleaned you up a little bit when you were unconscious, but you must feel pretty awful.
I'd like that, he said, relief filling his face.
She knew he wasn't ready to talk yet, and she wasn't going to push. She'd let him ask about the things he was ready to hear about, and share the things he was ready to share. As she helped him stand on shaking legs, he gave her a sideways glance.
We've been here before. You putting me back together?
The doc on Equinox mostly put you back together this time. I just tried to speed things along.
They moved slowly into the bathroom.
I'm dying to wash your hair, she said.
I'm dying to brush my teeth, he answered.
I think we can manage both.
By the time she guided him back to bed, he was clean, his face scraped of scruff. Kaylee noted how much weight he'd lost, the dark circles under his eyes in addition to the bruises and the angry marks all over his body. She didn't trust herself to speak. He closed his eyes, but she knew he wasn't asleep yet. Climbing into the bed, she carefully tucked herself around him.
I don't want to hurt you, but I really need to be close to you right now, she whispered.
You aren't hurting me.
She rested her head on his shoulder and placed a hand over his chest, comforted by the strong, regular beat of his heart.
When they woke several hours later, Kaylee brought him a bowl of Dorian's soup. While Derek slowly spooned it into his mouth, she arranged a bouquet of fresh flowers that Leah had dropped off while they'd been asleep, bringing a bright splash of color into the otherwise sterile room.
"Are you up for a little company?" Kaylee asked, watching Derek's face carefully.
He stopped and nodded, but not before she saw a flash of panic in his eyes.
"Just Drew and Kat. They have to leave soon, but if you aren't ready to see anyone yet, it's okay."
He shook his head. No, I want to see them. I'll let them know.
Moments after she contacted them, they both appeared in the doorway.
Wow, you look like absolute shit, Kat said,
a huge grin splitting her face. Drew stood beside her, tense. When Derek returned Kat's greeting with a genuine smile of his own, the look of relief on Drew's face was so profound it nearly brought Kaylee to tears. Kat hurried over to Derek. As boisterous as her greeting had been, when she leaned down to brush his hair back and kiss his forehead, it was with a trembling hand and a surprisingly gentle touch. Kaylee moved a couple of extra chairs into the room for Drew and Kat. When they sat around him, Derek looked pointedly at Drew and said,
"Thank you for coming to get me."
Drew cleared his throat.
"I promised you I would." "I never doubted it," Derek said.
Neither his expression nor his voice revealed the lie behind his words. He looked between the three of them.
What did I miss?
They spent the rest of the visit catching him up.
Once they had you, we knew we couldn't follow our original plan anymore, so we went to Arathos. It was Kaylee's idea, Kat said.
You went to my dad?
Derek asked, eyes wide.
Well, that was brilliant, actually.
Then his expression turned somber.
He knows about me.
Kaylee nodded.
I already contacted him to tell him we found you. We can talk to your family together when you feel up to it.
Derek nodded back, and they continued the conversation. Kaylee watched his expression when they told him about Admiral Ray's blowing himself, his ship, and his crew to oblivion, and they knew the information hit him hard. When they finally finished the story with their raid on Dorsha Prison, silence filled the small room. Eventually Derek spoke.
"We did it," he said. "We did," Kat affirmed.
Over the next few days, a steady stream of visitors filled Derek's room. Sean stayed for a few hours before he left Almagest to go home to his family. Finn came by every day, as did Leah. Derek seemed to appreciate the distraction of company, even if he'd often sleep for hours after they left. When they were alone, Kaylee would sometimes catch him frozen in an unblinking stare. He'd come back to himself in a cold sweat, shaking and disoriented. She understood all too well the dark place he visited in his tormented mind. She didn't want to leave him, but eventually he was gone for hours at a time with the hospital staff anyway, working his body back into shape. She'd received a message from Ben Glass, requesting to see her when she could manage it, so when Derek left for one of his sessions, Kaylee made her way to Ben's.
"How is he?" Ben asked as soon as Kaylee joined him in his office.
"Getting stronger," Kaylee answered.
"I'll be by tonight," Ben promised.
"He'd like that."
Sighing, Ben was silent for a moment, then said,
"Kaylee, we need to talk about the Drakkaran prisoners."
Kaylee nodded her agreement.
"I can contact the minister and let her know we have them now that she's back in office. I feel confident they'll be treated fairly, and I believe she'll understand why we kept them a secret."
"Good. Do that as soon as you're able. I understand the drug treatment therapy has been promising."
"That's what Dr. Kellen told me. I haven't had a chance to look over any of the results or check on the patients since I've been back."
"No, of course not," Ben said.
He ran his hands over his face and blew out a long breath.
"We've been discussing the situation with the Drakkaran civilians in the Assembly. There's growing support to allow them to settle here."
Kaylee hadn't given the Drakkaran civilians, who'd likely been on the run since Jai Akash had delivered them the warning message, so much as a passing thought since she'd been back.
"I'd really like your opinion, and I know it will hold great sway with the Assembly," Ben said.
Despite the fact that the previous decade of war might have been averted, had Reyes not taken matters into his own hands, Kaylee had no illusions about the Drakkarans. They'd proven to be a ruthless, relentless enemy, and now, because she'd insisted on pursuing a cure, they'd also be healthy. If she were honest with herself, bringing Drakkarans to Almagest terrified her. But then she pictured Navi's sweet face. He was a child, an innocent, and he deserved a future. She sighed.
"It scares me, Ben, but I think it's the right thing to do. I know what it's like to have lost everything. If it weren't for Nina, who opened her home and took care of me when I couldn't take care of myself, I don't know what would have happened. We have to do what's right, and not act out of fear."
Ben gave Kaylee a long look.
"I think it's the right thing, too. I'll throw my support behind the initiative. You can let the minister know this as well when you speak to her."
"I'll take care of it. She'll probably be relieved, civilians or not. It would likely be a hard sell to convince any other Alliance member world to take in Drakkarans after fighting a decades-long war with them."
When Kaylee was able to schedule a communication with the minister just a few days later, the older woman didn't try to hide her relief that Almagest was willing to take the Drakkaran civilians.
"We've been battling over what to do about them," she said.
"I understand. There's something else," she began,
and the minister tilted her head slightly in expectation.
"We have Drakkaran soldiers locked in an underground bunker."
"I see," the minister said, her eyes narrowing.
"I hope you understand why we didn't turn them over directly after the conflict ended."
"I do, but you'll need to now. They are enemy combatants of the Interplanetary Alliance."
The minister looked as if she were bracing for an argument.
If we weren't planning to turn them over to you, I wouldn't have told you about them, Kaylee said.
The minister gave her a tight smile.
No, I suppose you wouldn't have. We're trusting they'll be treated fairly, Kaylee said, the memory of Dorsha Prison still fresh in her mind.
You have my word. There are strict protocols in place for the treatment of prisoners of war, and I intend to personally ensure they're followed.
Kaylee felt her shoulders relax and the tension leak out of her body.
Thank you.
As much as she needed to assure their fair treatment, Kaylee knew the Drakkaran soldiers couldn't stay on Almagest. While she could make a case for the civilians, the soldiers who'd attacked their planet were another matter. When she finished her conversation with the minister, Kaylee headed back to the hospital, but instead of going to Derek's room, she slipped her security keycard into the lift and stepped on. Her stomach lurched as she descended into the underground bunker. The young soldier standing guard outside the ward flashed her a look of surprise before his expression softened.
"Welcome back, Dr. Chris."
"Thank you," she said, smiling at him.
"How's Captain Markham, ma'am?"
he asked.
"Much better, thank you for asking. Glad to hear. Please tell him we're all glad he's back home."
"I will. He'll appreciate that. I'm going to look over some of the latest test results, and then I'll be speaking with Jai Akash," she said.
"Yes, ma'am," he said.
Heading into the quiet, empty office to look at the test results, she gave herself time to mentally prepare to see Akash again. Starting with his file, she reviewed the notes. The therapy was working. More than simply masking symptoms, Akash's damaged nucleotides were repaired and functioning normally. Her own healthy genetic material had done its job. The proof of her shared common ancestry with the Drakkaran stunned her. It shouldn't have. She'd read the recovered files, learned details of the unethical experiment that had forever altered her people, and filled in the gaping holes in her world's history. But staring down at the evidence before her, a wave of revulsion gripped her. Unprepared for the force of her own reaction, she sank heavily back into the chair, dark spots mottling her vision. Resting her cheek against the cool surface of the work desk, she closed her eyes and focused on taking one slow, steady breath at a time. There was nothing she could do about the past. She could only do her part to help create a better future. The words she repeated to herself rang hollow, but she had to pull herself together. She couldn't lose herself over a situation not of her own making. Eventually her vision cleared. A thin coating of sweat covered her forehead and neck, and she trembled lightly as her body tried to recover from this latest layer of emotional trauma. She and Derek would have to compare notes later, she thought cynically. Knocking softly on the steel door, she waited several heartbeats before entering the security code to open it. When she entered his cell, Jai Akash stared at her, his face unreadable. His body became absolutely still. She'd noticed this Drakkaran quality before, but it left her disconcerted nonetheless. He looked fit, as if the last several months of confinement hadn't had any physical effect on him. "May I come in?" she asked. He lifted an eyebrow, acknowledging he really had no choice in the matter, and then gave her a slight nod. The cell didn't look like a hospital room anymore. A small table with a single chair sat tucked into the corner. A cot had replaced the bulky hospital bed. Akash motioned to the chair and sat himself on the edge of the cot. "A lot has happened," she began. He merely continued to stare at her. "I've reviewed your test results. The therapy is working," she said.
"I know," he answered.
Clearing her throat, she shifted topics. "The admiral who wanted to pursue and destroy your civilian fleet is dead. Almagest has agreed to allow your civilians to settle here, and the Alliance Minister approves." She paused to allow the information to sink in. The careful mask of control Akash had over his features slipped a little. Kaylee could see and feel his emotions stirring.
"You'll use this cure on our children?" he asked,
an unmistakable note of hope creeping into his voice.
"We will. They'll be allowed to settle here, Jai, and not as prisoners or refugees. In time, this can become their home," she said. She watched his throat working. He opened his mouth to say something and then clamped it shut again.
"You can't stay here, though," she added gently.
His eyes locked on hers.
"Your soldiers are considered enemy combatants. We have to turn you over to Alliance Command, but the Minister has assured me you'll be treated fairly, and I believe her," Kaylee said.
"It doesn't matter about us," Akash said, flattening his hands by his sides.
"It does matter," Kaylee whispered.
"Our children will live."
"They will. I promise you."
When she returned to Derek's room, Finn and Jason were there. They laughed together over something, and Kaylee smiled at the sound. She hadn't heard Derek laugh since he'd been back. They stayed for another few minutes until Dorian Bell stopped in to bring Derek and Kaylee dinner.
"That smells so good," Finn said as Dorian placed the tray down. "You boys come on down to the tavern in an hour or so, and I'll have some waiting for you," Dorian said.
"We'll see you there,"
Finn promised, as he and Jason headed out the door. When the room cleared, Derek's good mood faded.
"You okay?" Kaylee asked quietly.
He nodded, but wouldn't look her in the eye.
"I just want to go home."
A few days later, he was well enough to go home.
But he didn't. Not really.
Derek, Chapter 44. Work was the only thing that made sense to him. As soon as he could manage to keep himself upright for an entire day, Derek threw himself back into it. Disoriented at first, it seemed like he'd just left Almagest yesterday to command Equinox, and also like an entire lifetime had passed. Surrounded by the familiar people and routines of his workday, he kept himself so busy he had no time to think about anything else. If he wasn't working, he was pushing his body, running until his chest heaved and his clothes were soaked with sweat, or working with weights until his muscles screamed. But even when he fell into bed at night, exhausted, the nightmares still woke him. Kaylee tried to comfort him, to offer a link from her mind to his, but he couldn't let her in. He'd throw off the covers, tell her to go back to sleep, and wander the apartment. Sometimes he'd even wander outside. Once he found himself standing on the bridge overlooking the wide, rushing Kalanama River. As he stood staring into the swirling darkness, the violent current of the water called to him. He wanted so badly to lose himself in it that he actually leaned over the railing. When he climbed back into bed that night, smelling of fear and the outdoors, Kaylee clung to him. He knew he was hurting her, but he didn't know how to stop. If the protective wall he'd constructed around his damaged mind cracked even a little, he was afraid he'd split wide open, and the last remnants of his sanity would pour out. On the day the Drakkaran civilians arrived, Derek stood in the open landing field with Kaylee. Transport ships from Cor Leon had already arrived to collect the Drakkaran soldiers, but Kaylee insisted they wait until after the civilians were settled before leaving. She'd taken charge of the effort. He knew her own memory of arriving in Alamath spurred her to action. She wanted to make sure the new arrivals felt safe, if not welcome. Next to Kaylee, Marta stood holding Navi's hand. The little boy held up his arms, and Kaylee lifted him. "You're getting so big and strong," she said, smiling. He giggled and squirmed, ready to stand on his own feet again. Kaylee had thoroughly reviewed the test results from the adult Drakkarans and then worked with the medical staff to adjust the therapy for pediatric patients. Navi had responded perfectly to the treatments. Derek knew fulfilling her promise to Karan brought Kaylee some measure of peace. He looked around at the vehicles lined up waiting to transport the new arrivals, at the medical teams and volunteer staff prepared to receive anyone not healthy enough to move on their own.
"This is impressive," he said to Kaylee. "We don't really know what to expect, but the Amathi have done this before," she replied. "Marcus had a process in place and an excellent record-keeping system." Derek nodded, thinking back. He remembered Kaylee's first days in Alamath almost as if the experience were his own. He glanced at a small vehicle parked just to the side of the medical teams. In it, Jai Akash sat watching.
Having him here made Derek slightly uncomfortable, but it meant a lot to Kaylee, so he'd implemented the security measures himself and handpicked the detail guarding the young soldier. Akash stared silently out the window, still and expressionless. When a ramp slowly extended from the first transport ship, Derek held his breath. Feeling Kaylee's body stiffen next to him, he took her hand. If he'd had reservations about the civilians settling on Alamath, they vanished the moment the first group stepped out. With clothes hanging off their sickly, half-starved bodies, terrified children squinted in the bright afternoon sunshine. A few adults emerged behind them, carrying small bodies delicately in their arms. After a moment of stunned silence, the medical teams rushed forward. Kaylee turned to Derek. "I have to go," she said. "Can I help?" he asked. She nodded. He wiped at the tears that escaped down her cheek and followed her. They approached an older woman with a toddler in her arms. "May I take her?" Derek asked, reaching for the baby. The woman tried to keep her expression neutral, but the exhaustion and desperation bled through and her bottom lip trembled. "We'll take care of her," Derek promised. The baby was so thin and fragile, he was afraid he might break her. With the tiny body nestled into his arms, he cradled her gently against his chest and carried her into a waiting vehicle. Hours later, he was still following Kaylee around the hospital. He'd grab supplies, move patients, whatever she needed him to do. Her whole staff worked with practiced efficiency. The cafeteria had been cleared out and lined with cots and warm blankets, but as comfortable as the space looked, there was only one adult for every dozen or so children, and small, terrified faces peered up at him. "This is so much worse than we expected. I need to go back upstairs and look in on some of the sicker patients. Will you stay and help get these kids fed?" Kaylee asked. "We could use the extra hands." "Of course. See you at home later." "I'm not sure. I might stay here," she answered. The distance between them felt like a gaping chasm. Derek knew it was his fault. He'd closed himself off from her so completely that he couldn't feel her at all. She looked worn out, but otherwise he couldn't even read her expression. "Thank you for all your help today," she said, turning to leave. "Kaylee!" He reached for her. She stopped and turned around, but he couldn't think of anything to say. He finally settled on, "Get some rest, if you can." She nodded and left. Blowing out a frustrated breath, Derek left to find Dorian and help serve dinner. Within a few weeks, nearly all the Drakkaran children had been placed with families, and all were responding positively to the drug treatment. But even as things seemed to settle down, Derek barely saw Kaylee. Either she was working long hours or he was. One afternoon, Ben stopped by the flight training facility to see him. Derek generally had a positive working relationship with Ben and often had to interface with his office for planning and funding purposes as he coordinated the building of the fleet. Today, however, Ben had something else to discuss.
"I received a communication from the minister's senior staff. She's coming here in a month," Ben said.
Derek raised his eyebrows in surprise.
"What for?"
Ben smiled.
"An award ceremony. She wants the Horizon crew here, along with you, Kaylee, and Lieutenant Commander Asher. She also wants to finally, officially welcome Almagest into the Alliance."
Derek's chest tightened. He couldn't bring himself to smile back.
"Wow," he said stiffly.
"Not exactly the reaction I expected," Ben said. Unable and unwilling to put his thoughts into words, Derek forced a tight grin and shook his head.
"It'll be great to see everyone."
Ben held his gaze for a few heartbeats, concern in his eyes, but didn't say anything more about it. Later that day, Derek went for a punishing run, returning home after dark, soaked and starving. Taking a quick shower, he fought to keep down his rising panic. He knew he was barely functioning. Only the rigid routine and grueling schedule he'd created for himself kept him from losing his mind. The thought of any disruption to his carefully managed world filled him with dread. When he walked into the kitchen, damp and shaking, Kaylee was there. He caught the flash of alarm on her face as she put down the kitchen knife and stepped toward him.
"Are you okay?" she asked.
"Fine," he lied.
She stared at him, eyes narrowed. He sighed.
"You've heard the minister's coming for some kind of a ward ceremony?"
She nodded, and he shrugged.
"I'm just... I don't know, it feels like a lot right now," he said.
Reaching up, she placed a gentle hand on his face. "I think people need this. It's something to celebrate, a way to help them come together and heal." He swallowed hard. He could feel her opening, offering herself to him. But when he didn't react, the silence turned uncomfortable. Kaylee went back to chopping vegetables. "I heard you in the shower, and I thought I'd make us dinner."
"I'd like that. Do you need any help?" he asked.
"No, thank you. Sit. Tell me about your day," she said, moving efficiently around the small space. He lowered himself into a chair at the table and stretched his legs out in front of him. He told her about the new recruits, their training regimen, and his plan for the orbiting space dock. Tantalizing smells filled the room, and his stomach growled. She smiled. "There's a familiar sound." She brought their plates over and sat across from him. While they ate, she kept her attention on him.
"I love Dorian's cooking, but I've missed this," he said.
"Me too," she answered, and he knew she meant more than just the food. When they finished, she cleared the dishes, took his hand, and led him to the sofa. Something in the steeliness of her expression and the set of her jaw put him on edge. "We're doing this now," she said, looking him in the eye. He suddenly felt like an animal caught in a trap. "Derek, talk to me," she said, her voice soft but unyielding. He shrank back from her, the noise in his mind growing louder. Shaking his head, he tried to clear it.
"I'm okay."
"Good. All our friends and family will be coming for the ceremony in a few weeks." She paused and pinned him with her gaze. "Marry me, then, while they're here." Her words sounded like a challenge. He couldn't pull in a breath. Beads of sweat prickled his forehead, slid down his back. Darkness closed in on him, and his vision tunneled to a single point of light. Kaylee slid from the sofa and knelt between his knees. She captured his face in her hands. "Derek, look at me. Focus on my voice. I'm right here." He followed the sound, the tether that kept him from plunging into the abyss. He felt her consciousness brush against his. As much as he'd resisted in the past few months, he had to grab hold of it now.
"Breathe. Feel my heartbeat," she coaxed.
The comfort of her calm mind anchored him. He took a shuddering breath, then another. Finally, he could feel the touch of her hands against his skin, focus his vision, pull enough air into his lungs.
"Kaylee," he said. He felt like he'd swallowed glass. "I'm a fucking disaster."
Kaylee, Chapter 45. She'd pushed him. And for a moment before he blinked down at her and spoke, she worried she'd pushed him too far. But she was desperate, and he was drowning in his own pain.
"I know," she said, brushing her thumb over his cheek. Sitting back on her heels, she took his cold hands between hers.
"We have to do this together. That's how it works."
She felt him try to pull away from her again, but this time she wouldn't let him.
"Remember when I once asked you who we would be when this was over? You said that if we were still alive, we'd figure it out. Well, this is us, figuring it out."
"I'm so tired, Kaylee," he whispered.
"Surviving is hard work," she answered.
His expression softened.
"I think a lot about what you survived and how strong you are. That keeps me going some days."
"Derek, even during the worst of it, I was never alone. I always had people who held me up when I couldn't hold myself. You've done that for me so many times. On Mira, you said you wished you could take away my pain, but if you couldn't do that, you at least wanted to help me carry it. Let me do that for you now. Let me help you carry it."
He went silent for several heartbeats, then took a breath and said,
"I'm afraid to look at it too closely. I'm afraid I'll lose myself in it."
She felt his panic rising again.
"I won't let you. I promise."
Fear battled with relief in his tormented expression. Finally, his head dropped, his eyes closed,
and she felt him open his mind to her. When they threw him into the chair, every inch of his body screamed with pain. Metal cuffs secured his wrists and ankles. The damage they'd done to him so far was for later, for after they'd gotten what they needed. It was so there'd be no fight left, no will left in him. If death were offered when they were finished, he might take it. He might beg for it. Now they did need something from him, but he couldn't quite remember what. Somebody said his name. The voice sounded distant, muffled, persistent. Captain Markham. Admiral Reyes. He knew Admiral Reyes. The Admiral had done something wrong. Derek fought for the memory. I'm sorry about all this, son. The acrid smell of blood burned his nostrils. His dry throat stung when he tried to swallow. Breathing hurt. Ah, Derek, you should have let it go. You should have gone home a hero with the lovely doctor by your side and enjoyed the life you earned. Instead, here we are. Derek squinted through swollen eyelids, his pulse pounding in his ears. His body shook uncontrollably, and his teeth rattled so hard he thought they might break. Finally, he managed to choke out two words. Arundel! Why? Reyes barked out a gruff laugh. Even when you were a smart-ass kid, I knew you were going to be good at this job. So you found out about Arundel, and now you want to know why I did what I did all those years ago. The noise in Derek's mind silenced. For a brief moment, his thoughts cleared. The pain faded into the background, and he listened. I did it to save the Alliance. You remember how it was back then. Petty grievances, power struggles, territorial disputes that escalated into chaos. The Alliance was on the brink of disintegration, impotent, barely able to do the job it was tasked to do, namely, keep order. Suddenly, we were under attack, and woefully unprepared for it. Reyes paused, pacing back and forth in front of Derek. When he stopped, he squatted down, so they were eye to eye. I saw an opportunity. An opportunity to unite us around a common enemy. And the Drakharans were a fearsome enemy, like none we'd ever faced. They were not an innocent group of sick refugees begging for our help. They were an invasion force, willing to take what they needed at whatever the cost. I recognized them for what they were, so, yes, I double-crossed them. I had no authorization to do it, but it had to be done. I bought us time to prepare, to unite, to rebuild the Alliance. Reyes stood again. Derek couldn't lift his head to follow the Admiral's movements. Of course, war is costly, but for some it's immensely profitable. I had to align myself with certain organizations so we could build what we needed, arm our forces, protect our homes. It's a distasteful business, but I made the necessary relationships and had to promise things in return. Derek felt his mind shutting down, every nerve ending in his body on fire again. He couldn't focus on Ray's words anymore, couldn't make sense of them. Something jabbed at the base of his neck, and then a soothing warmth flowed through him from his head, to his chest, to the tips of his fingers and toes. His muscles relaxed. The shaking stopped. That's better, isn't it? Reyes asked. He might have made some sound in response. We need to talk about the data you stole. Data. He'd stolen data from Trident. Names, accounts, contracts. Who has it now? Was he supposed to tell Reyes this? He didn't think so, but the answers pressed against his brain like needles, the sharp ends pushing against his skull until they punctured it and inched their way out. Don't fight the drugs, son. When Reyes asked a question, the answer appeared in Derek's head, and he was powerless to stop it from clawing its way out. Eventually, silence filled the room. Derek's mind felt emptied, wrung out like a used dish rag. Keep him alive for now. Who knows what other useful information he has in his head, the Admiral said to the guards. Derek tried to protest, but the words wouldn't form. He slid toward unconsciousness, welcoming the merciful darkness when it finally pulled him under. When he let go of the memory, his body shook. First his rage, then the pain of deep, cutting betrayal flowed from Derek's mind to Kaylee's. She allowed it to wash through her. Derek spoke so softly, Kaylee could barely hear him. They kept going, after Reyes left.
I couldn't keep track of time, but they'd hardly let me sleep. My cell would be too hot, and then freezing cold. When they dragged me out again, it was almost a relief. Every time I think, maybe now they'll finally let me die.
He stopped for a moment, but she knew he wasn't finished. She kept her hands on him and inched herself closer.
The physical pain wasn't really the worst part. I couldn't stop them from taking what they wanted out of my head. It's like they reached inside and scraped out my thoughts. I couldn't stop them,
he repeated, his voice hitching. When she saw the vulnerability and despair in his expression, she lifted herself off her heels and wrapped her arms around him. He buried his head in her neck. His shoulders heaved as racking sobs tore from him in violent bursts. With all her being, she wished she could heal his suffering mind the way she could his body. Instead, she whispered that she loved him over and over, holding him until his energy drained and he leaned into her, spent and empty. Derek slept soundly that night, but Kaylee lay awake. Derek's mind had been violated. She'd violated other minds. She'd lied and manipulated people. She'd killed. Despite the countless people she'd saved because of her actions, despite her willingness to sacrifice herself for others, despite the battles she'd fought and the horrors she'd endured, she didn't know if the scales would ever balance.
Derek, Chapter 46. It had been 2 weeks since the night in the apartment. Derek wasn't all that much better, but he didn't want to throw himself off the bridge anymore either, and that felt like enough of a win for the time being. When the nightmares woke him, he didn't leave the bedroom. Instead, he allowed Kaylee to help steady him. She'd find other creative ways to fill the long hours of the night, too, and he very much enjoyed her efforts. He spent more time with Jason, who'd been nearly tortured to death while imprisoned during the Amathi Civil War. Although they didn't talk much about their similar experiences, the unspoken understanding between them brought Derek more comfort than he expected. He continued to push himself physically, but not with the same manic intensity as before, and instead of dreading the coming ceremony, he looked forward to seeing his friends. As he stood waiting for Kaylee outside the hospital, he zipped his jacket. The evening breeze now held the brisk bite of autumn. While he knew Kaylee loved the long, hot days of summer, fall was his favorite season on Almagest. He breathed in the scent of leaves and dirt as he leaned against the wall of the building. A moment later, she stepped outside. A smile lit her face when she saw him waiting. "Hi, I thought you were working late tonight," she said.
"Finished early, and thought you might like to go for a walk," he answered, taking her hand.
"I'd love to. How was your day?"
"Really good. We released the last Drakkaran baby today. His case was so complicated, it took us a while to realize some of his issues weren't related to his compromised genetics."
"Glad you got that sorted."
"Yeah, me too. How about you? How was your day?" Their conversation felt so shockingly normal. He couldn't answer her. She glanced at him curiously. "You okay?" He cleared his throat.
"Yeah."
They walked in silence to the riverbank, stopping at a spot he knew she loved, where the stark peaks of the Orinos mountain range towered over the tree line. When she'd run from Alamath years ago after escaping from the military prison, she'd made camp beside a river like this one. He knew the sound of the rushing water centered her, calmed her mind. He turned to face her. The setting sun's rays filtered through her blonde curls and framed her face like a glowing halo. Touching her cheek with the back of his hand, he stared at her for so long, she lifted her eyebrows.
"Yes," he said, breaking the silence.
She looked even more puzzled.
"Forgot your request," he teased.
Putting his hand behind her head, he pulled her close and kissed her long and hard. When he stepped back, he grinned at her flustered look.
"Yes, I will marry you when our friends and family are here."
Her eyes widened.
"Are you sure?" "It's the only thing I am sure of," he admitted softly.
She threw her arms around his neck and buried her face in his shoulder.
"I love you," she said,
her voice muffled against his chest. Derek sat with Sean and Drew in the back corner of the tavern. He hadn't realized how much he'd missed their easy friendship until they were here with him again. Donovan, now Admiral of the Inter-Allied Fleet, had since gone to bed, and Derek's parents wouldn't arrive until morning. Kat and Kaylee were off with Leah, making last-minute wedding arrangements, Derek imagined, so it was just the three of them. "Kat wears it well," Derek said, breaking the companionable silence. "She does, and she's earned it," replied Drew. "What does this mean for the two of you?" Drew sighed and swirled his glass. "I'm not going to renew my commission with the Alliance." Derek wasn't shocked. He knew something had shifted irrevocably in his friends since they'd learned about Arendal. "I'm going home to Mira. There's plenty of work to do there," Drew said. 10 years of occupation leaves a mark," Derek said. "Even if I wanted to re-enlist, I couldn't stay on Horizon. Kat would be my captain, and we can't go back to holding hands." "Nope," Derek agreed. When he'd been their squadron commander, he'd overlooked the relationship, and they'd never behaved as anything other than consummate professionals. Even after Kat took over Derek's old job, it still hadn't really been an issue. But as Horizon's new captain, Kat definitely couldn't date one of her officers. "She needs to do this, and I'm proud of her. We'll see what happens," Drew said, his voice trailing off. "How about you?" Derek asked, turning to Sean. When Sean had arrived a day earlier, Derek and Kaylee had waited with Noah in the landing bay. The pure joy on Noah's face when his younger sister emerged from the shuttle had been a sight to behold. They'd also met Sean's petite, dark-haired wife, and Kaylee had instantly been taken with her. Sean grinned and shrugged. "Sonya won't want to be far from Nysa, so maybe we'll end up as neighbors." Derek's eyebrows shot up. "You'd settle here? My commitment to the Alliance won't be finished for a while yet, and deep cover work is what I'm good at. Sonya understands, but it would be nice for her to feel like she's got family around her." Derek swallowed down the lump in his throat. This group was family, every bit as much as the one he'd been born into. They understood the darkness that chased him because it chased them, too. None of them really knew who they were without the war that had defined their entire adult lives. They'd each have to figure it out the best they could. "What about you, Derek? What are you planning to do?" Drew asked, as if reading his thoughts. "Besides getting married, you mean?" he asked, grinning because he couldn't help it, and because he wanted to lighten the mood a little. "Yeah, besides that," Drew said, taking a long drink. "Finish what I started with building Almagest's fleet, then... I'm not sure. I don't think I could give up flying, and I like teaching, so maybe I can still do that." He shrugged. He could only really think about one thing at a time. Kaylee, Chapter 47. Minister Bonaire stood on the very same platform where Marcus had once stood in the center of town. With her gaze fixed on the stage, Kaylee remembered her first days in Alamath with vivid clarity and Marcus's speech to the Amathi people in particular. Surrounded by armed soldiers, she'd huddled with a small group of survivors and been forced to listen as he'd spewed his lies. Nearly everyone she'd ever known had been killed, her home destroyed, because he'd convinced his people the Nivali were a threat to their existence. On that day, she'd felt more alone than she ever had in her entire life. Blinking the memory away, she focused on Minister Bonaire and thought about how much had changed in 5 years. Derek sat to her left in his full dress uniform, the rest of the Horizon team in the row beside him. There were no outward marks left on Derek. He was physically as healthy and fit as he'd ever been. Only his eyes betrayed the inner battle he still waged in his mind. But next to him now, Kaylee felt his calm contentment. By her side, with this group around him, he seemed at peace, at least for the moment. Derek's mother and father sat to her right. Miriam Markham's fingers threaded through Kaylee's, her grip gentle but firm. Kaylee had kept in constant communication with her over the last few months, even more often than Derek knew. Admiral Markham's solid presence next to his wife exuded an air of confidence and authority. But Kaylee sensed an underlying sadness in him that she'd never felt before. The events of the last several months had taken their toll on everyone. Minister Bonaire's voice carried out over the crowd, strong and clear. Kaylee lifted her eyes back to the stage and listened. It is my honor to officially welcome Almagest to the Interplanetary Alliance at last.